Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And it was a chunk teeth. Gum. That's right. They weren't soft before the gum.
No, they were gum soft in general. Don't you have soft teeth?
I do. I have very soft teeth.
Right. And are they sensitive? Are they sensitive teeth?
They're to insults.
Everything that could have gone sideways with that one interaction with Dan O'Brien.
Absolutely did.
Is a snapshot of my 8-hour day.
Yep.
But he was happy about his mom, which is so sweet.
Very
so how
sincere,
can you be mad at
sincere.
Him? If there is an economy behind and in that industry, and I've seen competitive cornhole.
So yeah, cornhole but is entertainment. So
I wish cornhole wasn't named cornhole.
It's an unfortunate name.
Right? Because I played a different type of game.
Stop.
At WVU, if you know what I mean.
You know who's behind this, Mike. It's Big Corn.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Well, I have entered a new phase of burning my face in the hopes of preventing skin cancer. By the way, everyone, go see your dermatologist. And if there's something to do with your face, precancerous areas, that they can treat that. They can do it a series of ways. They can do it by freezing the little areas of your face off, which gets rid of that troublesome skin. And it
so
comes back.
Papa had
fine. What?
Done. That's what my papa had done.
That's
freeze.
What he did. Now, yeah. Someone last night was telling me there's a new thing called blue light. It's not new. Blue light therapy, where they put you under this this intense light, and that takes care of it. Apparently, according to a guy that I was speaking with yesterday, they've made improvements in that. And
now, if
it
you
can
get the blue
better.
Light, you also it cures your cancer, but you get 40% off at Kmart, right? The
Thank
blue
you.
Light special.
And so it was. I was wondering, you know, why you interrupted, but now I know. So the idea is
wasn't
not,
worth it.
We're not going to do that again. But the third one is something I was unaware of until I went to the dermatologist, which was this, I think it's called Floracil, which is this cream you put on, and you put it on for 5 days. And what I was really not totally clued in with was when the fun would start. And the fun starts after the 5 days is over.
Mm.
And right now it's been a total of 2 weeks, because 2 weeks ago I started. And then a week ago, I started the reaction. And the reaction has been, well, you saw it on the show. The early days of it, when it really started to pop, I looked like Freddy Krueger. Then I went into the raised areas where it's, and now I'm into the sloughing off phase of this. And it actually is, I think, beginning to.
You're molting.
I'm molting. I'm shedding like a snake.
Yes.
Did the doctor indicate to you that it was going to be 5 days and out? Did he ever even tease you with the fact that the fun began on day 10?
I don't. Not day 10, because this
is day 10. It would be day 4. Okay, so like
it would
maybe
be day 6.
Day 6, after the cream was done.
It would be
done.
Day 6. I could show you the picture he gave me. He put a smiley face up, like a child's picture of a head, of a face. And then he drew XXXX across my forehead and XXX all the way down my cheeks. No X's here, no X's on the nose, which probably would have been a good idea, but I'm not the doctor. And then that was it. And then he has another product he wants to take, and this is the clinical explanation he gave to me. There's another thing I have to do briefly that is not related to skin cancer. After the dust settles. Actually wrote it on the paper. After the dust settles.
When you saw that, did you realize you would be the source of the dust?
I don't. You know,
may
it's
I,
such a drag.
May
ride.
I ask
really
you
yes.
a non-hacky question?
Sure.
I actually care about your skin, so did the
Thank
doctor
you.
Act? Did the doctor give you instructions? Because I know this from my sister and my dermatologist. I once had what something that was just scabbing up, and then I went in the sun. It was like probably playing soccer when I used to play soccer on a regular basis, And then I had a skin spot, like an what looked like an age spot almost.
Mm-hmm.
I believe my esthetician wife would refer to that as, I want to say, hyper or hypopigmentation.
Because it's
either hyper or hypo.
Yeah, you just confused. I was just told that to keep all scabs out of the sun, or else it would stain your skin.
I was told that if I go into the sun, and I'm so glad you brought that up because it makes a perfect segue. I was told by the doctor that yes, I can go play my favorite sport, but I have to triple up on the sunscreen and wear a wide brimmed hat.
Yeah,
and that is why. I wrote this down. On the golf course now, I look like an old lady in the garden. And I have brought a visual aid.
Oh, good. You have? Good.
Good. Let's see it. Yeah, because the last thing you want is to go through all this pain and then look like Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah, you don't want that like wine have a spot. Permanent...
Yeah. See, I'm looking at it right now. And I'm thinking, I hope it worked. And if it didn't,
yeah, I don't think it really.
I don't think it really
covers as much as we think it should.
What, the hat?
Yeah,
it doesn't.
You know what, Dave?
It doesn't cover. Yes,
I think that it's the hat. Believe it or not, for that style of hat, leans a little fashionable because of the shape of the brim.
And
it's
then
not
there are
as
guys
bad
from
as it could
South
be.
That wear the hats like this.
Yeah, you don't want that.
How you doing?
But don't
There's
you still have
a bright golden phase on the meadow? All right.
Do you still have your, was it called the bony hat or the boony hat that you bought at Costco?
Oh, the floppy one? No. No, that's long gone.
Oh, because that would have been ideal.
A little
I was
more
trying
coverage.
To like tidy up the studio the other day. You know what's long gone?
What?
Light bulbs in our house. The crap we throw away sometimes, like somehow light bulbs are missing. Carl and I do not speak, so we don't see a lot of each other. But the light bulbs are nowhere to be found.
Don't you? You should have a set place. I have a set place where I keep all our light bulbs, and I always know that that's where you go. I mean, do you have a spot for them, or do they just?
I thought we did in the laundry room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Precisely.
You run out. Yeah. Or more from a place
By the way,
called Amazon.
What's it like having Rob in studio with you now?
Oh, not much has changed. When I walked in, his key light was off, and I was like, oh, not much has changed. He goes, oh, get out of the habit. I was like, oh, details.
Tough week for you, isn't it? Tough week, Rob? Tough week
no,
for
not
you this
particularly.
Week?
And if you could lower your microphone a little bit. So
You're lying. You
Thank
are
you.
Lying, not
Let's
particularly.
Not cover your face, for God's
That's
sake.
That's why
please.
I said, Rob comes in and likes to use the Jerry Lewis line, how you been? He says, that's what he says to everyone. I said, how you been? And he said, okay. So I knew that he'd had
no,
a...
No, I said fine.
How was the commute
No, you said okay. You didn't say fine. You said okay. And I
Meant
knew you
okay.
had a put-upon week.
The commute in, I forgot the delight of an hour and 15 minutes with the sun in your eyes. And people going at 15 miles an hour because the sun is in their eyes. Because all of the traffic in Washington, D.C. has been designed to drive into the sun
yes.
in the morning and into the sun at night. And thank God at least it's a school day and there were lots of buses. Yeah. It was a delightful
but
one, ride.
But once a month isn't That's terrible,
not
right?
Bad
I think the first
all.
Time in what, six
now
months?
You're talking about
no,
all
months.
The people of Northern Virginia.
Yes.
Because they make the commute east in the morning and west in the afternoon.
It's perhaps not the
what
best move. As
no, it was Mac.
Mac,
hey,
what are you doing in there?
That was a
there?
Cool sound. What was that?
That was my computer. We're using a different setup now. I'll try and mute that.
And Mac's
I like
having
it.
A day, too, so let's be easy.
Hey, we're all day. Happy.
Yes.
Happy pappies. It's funny that you mentioned the commute because you actually have the fortune of not having to commute since, quote-unquote, people have started coming back to work.
Yeah.
And
have Rob you, we're talking about.
Yeah, Rob has.
Yeah.
Do you notice the difference? Do you feel it? Because Thursday's supposed to be a day of,
you know
labor.
What? It was a, for a while, it was thin in the morning. It
yeah.
was nice coming in.
Yeah.
I think just enough people are going back now.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. A lot of squinters in the
so
morning.
So you felt it?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Yeah.
That's well, good. That's good. It's good for the economy.
The skin is sloughing off my body. I'm now shedding like a snake. So, but I'm realizing that when I saw the hat on camera, I realized perhaps it was inadequate and I should have gone with this look.
Full coverage.
Oh.
Yeah, it would just be a shame to see more spots. after this.
Queen in her bed with a velvet of oh, and bind her with her bones. All right, sorry.
It's not what I got. I was getting Eminem.
There's a song that, look, it might be my feed, it might be circulating the internet, but it's this bass a cappella group. Hoist the colors. That's, and they play it when they'll show,
what
like
station?
If you see boats at sea in heavy waves, they will play these deep.
Is it like
sinister,
a shanty?
Huh?
Is it like a sea shanty,
you know,
but sung low?
You know what's frustrating? I could play it for you, but I'm very aware that the rights of things are.
Just play it. We can always bleep it out.
Yeah.
All right, just one moment.
Just do the show for us. Who just cares?
Okay. All right.
It's weird because Mike and I have a weird overlap musicality, and I don't know what he's talking about at all.
Yeah. Maybe it's. Are they in some sort of like Spanish galleon and they're singing songs?
I have a technical question for you.
Yes.
It's not going to slow the show down.
No.
If I play something from the computer that's got my camera in it, will you hear that?
No.
Damn it. I have to.
Not hooked up to the board.
Okay.
Board.
Got to hook it up to the board.
Let me get rid of
it. It's good to see you, though.
Nice to see you, too.
It's nice to have somebody in studio. It's funny because when people do come in, and, you know, the whole crime situation, people don't like talking about that. Because they're scared of the city now.
Well, I was carrying a knife from my car to the elevator.
Did you talk to your wife? Be like, hey, I'm going into the big city.
She opened champagne.
He's like, don't be careful.
Talk to everybody.
Make sure to be your pleasant self.
Encourage conversation.
You bring the sunshine.
Dear. No, she,
Is she even aware?
Yeah, I told her yesterday that I'm going in, and I believe her words were, be careful.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah. So,
what'd you do for,
word was not even said in our house.
You didn't even just give her like a quick smooch?
No. But we did, we discussed the celebration of Sebastian's birthday.
The dog turned four yesterday. But nothing about V-Day.
Nothing about V-Day, no.
Mac, did you call your mom and wish her a happy Valentine's Day?
We actually went out to dinner last night.
Red Lobster? The good son.
Close. We went to a place called Shooter McGee's, who has Lobster Wednesdays.
Oh, even better.
You know,
Shooter McGee's. I remember.
I know that in D.C. we have a good proximity to the ocean, and if you want the best lobster, you go to Shooter McGee's.
That's what they're known for. Lobster Wednesdays. Today being Thursday. Was it just you and your mom, or your dad, your mom, and you?
My dad was working, which I found odd because he's retired.
Well, no, because he's this is what I'm saying.
I'm working and I'm retired.
Yeah, Mike's been retired for 10 years and he's been
No, I've been retired for 1 month.
Yeah, you know, that's not anybody's business. Don't make yourself sound older than you actually are. Come on,
sorry.
Please.
Tell you the truth.
We're not trying to age out.
You know what, Mike? Wasn't it just over?
I'm not gonna lie. You know, who am I? Greg Hughes? Am I Anthony Cumia? I'm gonna pretend I'm younger than I am.
I want to see if you don't come in here with an electric skateboard tomorrow. We're gonna have a problem.
And to be perfectly honest,
that was so funny because you never think of guys that are approaching 40 or in their 40s that try. That's a silly time, I think, to pretend you're younger because I think it's a very vital.
Yeah, you dated a high school student in your 40s.
Stop it.
Hey, can I? I found that thing. Can I break in with that?
Sure.
Yes, of course.
This is called "Hoist the Colors," the bass singers of TikTok. Doesn't sound sinister?
Very sinister.
The king and his men stole the queen from her bed.
It gets lower.
And bound her in.
I really hope, Oscar, we can play this, right?
No. But this does sound like that one song, Let My People Go.
That's enough. Yeah, that's short enough where they're not going to bite our ass.
Ferris Bueller, yeah.
Yeah, we should actually just share this with the people because we've had enough people online ask us what happened to the music.
Yeah.
And this is a little behind the music. Digital rights management is not just aggressive. It's overbearing. So what you're not hearing right now is music because we don't want to get pulled down from every single media platform that we are on because somebody in Russia has the rights to the song.
And they hold grudges.
Very frustrating.
They remember. Yeah. I hate it. I do.
You can be deplatformed.
Yes, precisely. That's the word for it.
We can't afford to have that happen.
No, no. So we keep pushing. No. But it does sound like, let my people go.
Let my people go. That's from Ferris Bueller. Remember that? Oh, when Cameron does that.
Yeah. Oh, that's you're right. You're right.
Says, Ferris Bueller's right. Day
off. Have you seen the film?
We lay to Fiddler's Green.
Now, that's the one that sounds like computer generated.
Have you seen?
Probably is.
The movie Ferrari yet?
Yes. You mean okay. Ford versus Ferrari?
No, Ferrari.
No, I
relatively
have not
newish.
Seen that one.
With Adam Driver.
Get it? Because it's Ferrari.
This guy was, what's the clinical term? Coxman.
Is this Enzo they're
Enzo
talking about?
Enzo Ferrari.
The man, the main dude. So this is back in the 50s and 60s.
Yes,
then.
Yes.
Enzo
you're going to love it. You would love it too, Rob, simply for the costume play. Like, it is.
You know,
the
Mike,
setting.
I love a movie with costumes.
You do. You like a period piece.
It is a period piece.
I love a period piece.
And.
You stop it.
And.
Don't say
it. I'll give you a
graphic.
Line from a period piece of a movie I loved, all right? Here's a line from a period piece, all right?
Yes.
Why don't you love me anymore? Sorry. There we go.
What piece is that?
Do you get the joke? Rob gets the joke. Explain the joke to him, please.
I don't. Is it?
No. He doesn't know. He doesn't even know.
Okay.
Does it have
really?
To do?
You I morons? Think you were... This is a joke about premenstrual
now you're insulting
tension.
Us.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were going
a period
there, but
piece. I was doing premenstrual tension.
Oh.
I would have gotten that joke
land.
Earlier.
Yeah, hey,
earlier in the month,
night
I would have gotten
last
it.
Night, I fully expected
I
it
was really thinking
was
about a movie.
I was, too. Because you like those Pride and Prejudice like
no,
movies.
No.
I was like, was that Casablanca?
Be, Sense and Sensibility, one of my favorite movies. Mm. So I was doing
Caddyshack
about that.
2.
Oh, with Jackie Mason.
Did I tell you the other joke from the guy at the golf course maintenance shack that was telling me another joke?
No.
Guy goes into a grocery store, lives in the same neighborhood as a psychiatrist that he knows pretty well, bumps into him at the grocery store, and the guy says to him, hey, how you doing, Sam? And I said, well, Doc, I got to tell you, it's really gotten rough. My wife is just pretty rough on me. She tells me what to do all the time. Nothing I can do is ever really good enough. It's been really, really frustrating. He said, listen, why don't you come by the office, you know, lie down on the couch and tell me really what's going on. I'll give you an hour. He said, no, I really can't do that. He says, why can't you come to the office and lie on the couch? He said, my wife won't allow me on the furniture.
I get it.
That's a joke. Sorry, but the other joke didn't land. If you both don't get it, my judgment is if you both don't get it, then I don't. And I realize Rob sometimes laughs. When I used to laugh on the show when something he doesn't understand, and I do that all the time. That's the job.
You got to keep it moving. But for both of us to be like,
you know what it was, Mike? It was too subtle. You got to play a little broad with us. Sometimes.
Also, you're not a big minstrel joke person.
You mean the ministration?
Yes,
minstrel is different.
No,
he was referring
to minstrel.
The joke better. How it,
minstrel.
Like
he likes the menzies.
Let's ask my wife. All right, moving on.
Here's another one. Can I write another one that you might get?
Yes, here we go.
Right.
Here we go.
All right. Hey, listen, guys, if we're going to talk about period pieces, why don't you just pad for a while?
That's better.
No,
better.
You didn't get that one either?
I got it. It's just you're so much better than those jokes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm really disappointed.
I hold you at a higher bar.
And actually, Mike, if you really were to break
that's
down
a Rob joke.
The job, I would tell that joke and then you would say you're gross. That's how that works.
Well, I was giving a more simple, less
subtle
joke. What do
you think,
joke?
Mac? You're 30.
Yeah.
You're not aged out.
I giggled, but that's about it.
Jesus. You know what? Worth coming in today. Worth coming into the studio today.
But thank you. Go ahead, come on. How about this? Why don't you throw the headphones on Dan O'Brien and Mike? You lay it on him.
All right.
You're killing. You're killing. You're killing. You didn't kill. Go ahead.
Well, now, you see, when he comes
in
cold.
Set him up. Set him up.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Mike. I'm Mike, Dan. Early morning, huh? Pretty early?
He gets it all the time at this hour.
Do you get in early every day? How's mom?
Mom's great.
That's what that's wonderful.
Actually, quick shout out. She's lost, I think, 110 pounds with Noom. Swear to God. I'm not.
Sweet. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Love it. Okay. Love it.
Would have loved that if it was Dermglow skin, but that's fine. That's fine.
We love all our advertisers.
Well, my skin has never looked better. Yeah, thank you, Carla.
That's right. All right. Thank you. Get out of here, Dan. You pissed me off in less than 16 seconds.
You got it, Rob.
Right. Thank you. Literally trying to feed my effing family here, trying desperately to feed my family.
This is what's great, Mike. And this is why this show's comedy gold. Everything that could have gone sideways with that one interaction with Dan O'Brien.
Absolutely did.
Is a snapshot of my 8-hour day.
Yep.
And now,
hey, I'm Dan O'Brien. Let me tell you about these fantastic new belts that I got from a company that's not Groove Life.
He was happy about his mom, which is so sweet.
Very
so how
sincere,
can you be mad at
sincere.
Him? It's so sweet.
By the way, she's Hi, lost Debbie. All that weight drinking Gatorade Zero.
No.
But in fairness to her, she has done sit-ups.
Mm-hmm.
She has, and it's a harder way. It's a harder path.
So the joke, that's a callback to an old joke that I share with people often. That Oscar Santana, when I talk about my my north of 70-pound weight loss, Oscar said, with not one sit-up, that gets a big, big laugh. And I got another one for you. I'm just a fan of this material today. My buddy Ole, we went to his house for the Super Bowl. This is what he says to me. And I'll do his Mexican accent.
Okay.
Every one of the people that were at the party was commenting on just how engaging and mature your son was, and what a very fine gentleman he is. And I was just hoping that some of that might someday rub off on you. I told you I'd say that on the air, Ole. I told you I'd do that. That was so damn funny. He's the funniest man I've ever met. He really is. So, yeah, Michael makes a good impression in public. He shows
his
ass.
Fantastic.
He shows his ass in private, which is the way I used to be. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if I was ever, you know, it's look you in the eye, shake the hand, you know, not the shy. By the way, I don't like that word when it comes to kids. Shy. They're shy. I think shy is, you know, shy can be, well, Oscar knows this, you can I don't want to say beat it out of them, no, you can breed it out of them, the shyness, you can raise them not to be shy.
Yeah, that breed, I think you have to, what is it, full immersion.
But I mean, like, shyness.
You got to sit there in it. You got to learn to be comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's every bit is the same as teaching a kid to clean their room or dress. Yeah,
I think bingo.
The worst thing as a kid was getting dressed up for every one of my parents' dinner parties. But it was actually a blessing in disguise because
was there always a murder at the dinner party?
No, but they would force you to engage.
Yep.
My parents did.
Yep.
We were lucky out, but I as a kid, like, oh no, another dinner party. Middle of the week, like three or four of them, and it would just be like a whole thing. We'd be sitting there eating our vegetables, just
and then I would be banished upstairs, in our center chimney. We call it in a center chimney cape, very small home, New England style home, and I'd be upstairs, and for the rest of the cocktail party, I would hear Mr. McCabe, God rest his soul, down the street going. Had the greatest laugh and loved to tell jokes. It was like,
just
that's
like me.
The way he would follow up every joke he told me.
I love that.
I like that.
Mike, can I ask you a question about your center cape? Because center chimney cape. Was there a bedroom upstairs that had a chimney
going through it, but not access to it? It was bricked over. I think the option was there, perhaps in the olden times, if you wanted to put a fireplace in the bedroom.
But there was like a chimney. Could you like go around
it? In my parents' bedroom with their Ricky and Lucy beds that they had for my entire life. My parents never slept in the same bed for all my adult life. They had a Ricky bed and a Lucy bed with a vanity,
in the middle.
A night table in between.
Yeah.
That's the way they did it.
There wasn't like a sex bed.
Oh, come on.
What? Like a third
bed.
Yeah, you know what? Broken home. That really is. That is completely.
Let me go back.
Just because your mom was bringing home every other dude from Safeway.
That's
how we rolled.
Stop it.
Jesus Christ.
But, Mike, I think that
earlier taping schedule. Earlier.
You like these melons? How about you come on home with me? I'll introduce you to my son, Robbie.
That's not okay.
Sex bed.
But
I don't know.
In the Cape,
I was the last child.
I think that we probably had similar, and that's the name of the show.
Sex bed.
I think we probably had a similar layout because, as you describe it, Big Daddy's house in Northern Virginia was also a center chimney cape,
a small home.
Yeah, exactly. So and he had no sex bed.
You know what's great is as soon as we started talking about your mom, you totally.
I know, we all get nervous
because it's your mom.
It's your mom.
Yeah, but it's funny because you were talking about Rob's parents, and then Rob was like, "What?" Oh, I mean, Mike's. Now I'm Dan O'Brien.
Yeah,
and Mac, that light went off somehow. Please fix it.
It's early morning. Yeah, Rob's in the dark now. Which is not an unusual place for him, but I mean, it's it happens quite often
for most of the show.
All right, Ed McCabe, God bless him, office furniture guy, did really really well. One of the most well heeled neighbors that we had. Always had stuff, but not flaunting it. Just you knew he was. You know, when you live in a middle class neighborhood, you would always know who had the better stuff. It just it was the nature of the beast, the way it happened. So. Ed McCabe would follow up, and I love the guy. I think that I referenced him. I've told this story a bunch of times, but I remember how cool it was to have interactions with him because he would tell a joke and then he would laugh at the joke in a hysterical laugh, which maybe and it was like so. Years and years and years ago, I am on the air, and my mom, God rest her soul, is getting the mail. This is after my dad had passed away, and she's up. And our center chimney cape in my little hometown in New England was sitting at the bottom of a little valley, a tiny little valley where you'd have a driveway at the top and you drive down. It's not big, okay? Imagine everything in miniature.
We're talking small, Arthur.
I'm talking small. But the mailbox was at the top of the hill. And then the street was at the bottom of the hill, and my house was at the bottom of the hill. So essentially, the street was on a hill, house and street, both on the downside of the hill. My mom goes pulls in the driveway at the top to get the mail. And she is, I think, she is 80 years old at this point. And she pulls in, stops the car, walks 10 paces over to the mailbox. The car, she did not put in park. The car is in reverse, or it is in drive. I'm not sure which one it was. No.
Probably
it was,
neutral.
It was in neutral. So she, as opposed to being a normal 80-year-old and going, oh, my God, she dashes for the car and tries to get into the seat. It knocks her down. The door rakes across her forehead, causing an aneurysm, and the front left tire, part of it goes over her shoulder. She gets really badly hurt. Not dangerously hurt, but she gets badly hurt.
Yeah, banged up.
The car rolls backwards, leaving her at the top of the driveway, and rolls across the street and down into another valley, the hills of my Connecticut. There was a song about it, okay? The whole effing town is hills. Hills, 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 hills. I had great thighs in those days because I was walking over hills all the time. It goes
into the valley
of the neighbor's yard and right down near the brook. And we had brooks, too. And it sits there. All right, so I am, I think, called while I'm on the show. I get to the airport and I go, just to see. She's in the hospital. And I don't even know if I went home for that one. I'm not sure whether, I don't think I did, but I'm not 100% sure.
Ah, I remember back then, Mike, they encouraged us to leave.
It was sweeps week.
Yeah, and take care of our family.
Yeah, they really wanted us to make all those. Anyway, I did go to see her because I flew home to check on her. And I go to the hospital and then I'm coming back and I see Mr. McCabe in his front yard. And I rolled down the window. I still call him Mr. McCabe. I said, "Hey, Mr. McCabe, how you doing? Hey, Michael, welcome back. Listen, he's got that South Boston. I said, how's your mother? How's your mother doing? Mm-hmm. Is she doing okay?" I said, "Yeah, you know, it was a bit of a shock to her, but she's 100% fine. She's going to be out of the hospital soon. She's doing well." He said, "Yeah, we were taking a walk, and I noticed that, you know, there was this car, the O'Mara's car is down in the middle of this ditch." And I said, "Mike must be home." Funny people are funny people. Doesn't matter what the circumstances, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was my my little story.
It was where it came from. For those of you that have never driven a manual before, I imagine it was it a manual car?
Automatic.
Maybe because it's easy to leave it in manual with a stick shift all day.
Oh yeah.
And didn't you call it a Manuel transmission when you were growing up?
No.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Maybe a Mazda. It was a Mazda.
Mazda.
Consumer Reports, very, very well-regarded automobiles, by the way.
And she had the need for speed.
Cars. What's that?
She had the need for speed.
No, it's just, I'm talking about now, present day. We flash forward to present day where I've got a book. It's like a magazine you can get in the grocery store. Consumer Reports, Cars of 2024. And it's a big, thick book of different ratings on cars, crash safety, reliability scores, which are a big deal, where they go back to 21, 22, and 23, and they show you reliability scores. And then they have road test scores. And you'd be very, very surprised to look at these different consumer reports. I'll ask Oscar this because he's a car junkie too.
Yeah.
Oscar, because I'm always on guard thinking the fix may be in, do you believe that the Consumer Reports family is immune from corruption? That's the question I have for you.
I think we all have influence, but I want to believe that for a company that is built on reputation, and if that was gone, it wouldn't be a company.
Okay.
You have to maintain some separation of church and state. For example, Motor Week from PBS.
Yes.
It's the longest running auto show, and I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I DVR it and or YouTube TV it, and I'll watch it. And this past year, they gave away all their like cars of the year, and they gave it to the Ford Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Awful pretty.
Why? Yeah. What are we doing here?
But the first thing you say is build quality. Yeah, nice plastic switch."
I go back with Consumer Reports, Mike. That probably
didn't make sense to me, but I was like, okay, maybe this one isn't the one I'm going to go with.
In the early 80s, when Consumer Reports, you could actually take it as a magazine. I don't know if they publish a magazine anymore.
I'm not sure whether they do. Certainly, I've got an online.
Most magazines are dead.
Yeah, most of them are dead. But the old days, the magazine Consumer Reports took no advertising.
Right.
They existed only on subscriptions.
I always thought
that was a nod to how, you know, how much they could be verified.
I think that your Motor Trend, your Car and Drivers are influenced. I think there's absolutely no doubt whoever gets schmoozed. These are writers that do these things. But Consumer Reports, it's so painstakingly detailed, and I'm working off the top of my head here, but when you're talking about reliability, you gotta hand it to the Japanese.
Yeah.
You know,
Sign of the times, Motor Trend, I think, is going to a quarterly distribution.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're like, more magazine, less frequency.
Well, so it's Motor Trend and Car and Driver. Those are the two biggies,
are the two guys.
There's one I like and one I can't stand.
Do you also want to have the correlation of, and I might have the magazine wrong, so please feel free to correct me online. One of the major auto magazines we used to get in an airport. The iPad and the advent of the internet on a flight murdered the majority of these magazines because they would make the most margins on print magazine.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I never had or even correlated the two, how one would erode the other. Because if you've ever bought and some of our audience hasn't, kids, if you're with your parents listening right now, they would sell magazines, and they kind of do still in airports, and your parents and I would buy them, and they would cost $8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I guess I got to buy it now. We're here.
Yeah. Like Rob Report or something. Yes. By the way, Rob Report, created by our own Rob Spiewak.
Yeah.
Tune in this weekend. We're talking about cars that don't flip over.
Feature article.
Exotic cars that don't flip over.
Feature article written by the editor.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, unfortunately, Mike, all the print is upside down. So you have to turn the magazine over if you want to read the article.
We have to break here. But when you flipped your car, did you spin? Did you do that thing where it was
No, I just slid. I just slid. Of course, there was a lot of forward momentum. And, you know, I'm not a light man anymore.
There you go. Suspended from the floorboards.
Why is everyone standing upside down, Doug?
Hey, guess what, everybody? You can be very, very excited because we're going to have the roundtable discussion. And later in the broadcast, Mr. Santana has brought in irrefutable evidence that what we were talking about yesterday, not BS. We'll be right back, everybody. This podcast is brought to you by Groove Life. We love you, Groove Life. Why? Because Dan O'Brien says the Groove Wallet is a slick, aluminum, low-profile wallet, perfect for everyday use.
True story.
One simple thumb motion perfectly fans out up to 6 cards for easy access to find everything you need. Plus, Groove Life just launched their new carbon fiber wallet, which has everything you love about the original Groove Wallet. But with the added carbon fiber included, I think it looks great. It really does.
It
carbon
does.
Fiber's a cool look. Groove Life makes a ton more than just wallets, and they've got belts, rings, watch bands, AirPod cases, and much, much more. Listen, pal, 2024, now is the time to update your wallet game with Groove Life. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS. For 20% off your order, I'm Cindy Lauper.
Hey, look.
I watched the
Kraken has lost over 120 pounds.
Isn't that exciting? I watched the We Are the World documentary.
Oh, Cindy Lauper, prominently featured.
Very prominently featured in that. Yes. Really amazing. Beautifully done. Really, really cool. Very,
you
very
know what the coolest thing about that is when you watch them do multiple takes and then you finally hear the take that's used on the record.
And because we played it so much, I knew
right
exactly
away.
What the that Huey Lewis take, I knew that was the one they were going to get.
And did you know that Huey was struggling to get that take? It was so cool when he finally nailed it.
Yeah, it was
fun. Recommend that without reserve.
Will you say hi to Santos real quick?
He's so excited to see you.
He loves you.
Hey, Rob, I have a question before we start the roundtable here regarding your reaction, because you're kind of an old softy like I am. Did you find yourself a couple of times getting a little verklempt during that documentary?
Very much so.
Okay.
I'm wondering if it was the same thing that got me that got you, is an overall presentation of the way the popular music industry has changed.
Yeah. And the fact that you would probably just never have...
It could never happen again.
That moment. Anymore.
And that was a moment that made me want to get into radio.
So cool.
And radio doesn't
I was so
like
young,
anymore.
I had no...
Oh, it was so exciting.
I have no concept of... I understand what a superstar is these days, and for all these superstars to get together, I get that and how momentous that is. And the idea that Bob Seger's like rolling in, like he's driving in, you know...
Well, Bob Seger wasn't there, but he would have.
What guy that was older was there?
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
That's what I meant. Yes, okay. Kenny Rogers.
And the thing about it,
Bob Seger, and Kenny Rogers, two different men. Oscar.
Bob Seger just watching. But the idea of I think for me it was a real trip down memory lane because I was on the radio then. And I remember 7:50 a.m. That's when we played it. That's when it came on.
Which country artist left because he said, I'm not singing Swahili.
And I never knew that. I never knew that happened.
That's Can you explain?
So
we're not spoiling anything.
So the idea of this is the documentary called, I forgot what the title of it was, but it's about
The Greatest Night in Pop.
The Greatest Night in Pop, making of We Are the World. And they bring all these artists together, including country artists like Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
And the idea, right at the beginning, they say two of the real problem children in this enterprise will be Cyndi Lauper and Stevie Wonder. And it proved to be kind of true because Stevie went off on a tangent that there should be some native African language in the piece, and perhaps Swahili, and it's getting a little off the rails because he's singing some Swahili, and then Al Jarreau says, that's not Swahili, you're not saying it correctly, and then somebody says, that we're doing this for Ethiopia, they don't speak Swahili in Ethiopia. Anyway, it's turning into a CF, and Stevie's singing some Swahili, or what he thinks is Swahili, and at this point, Waylon Jennings just walks out of the studio.
Yeah.
I'm not doing 40 no superstars.
And does,
you know? And
it does was, not return.
And it does not, walks on the project.
And Mike, just one quick correction is Al Jarreau says, they don't speak Swahili.
Yeah, because Al Jarreau's getting S-faced.
That was so embarrassing.
It was.
The Greatest Night in Pop, is that the name of it?
I believe it. Let me double check, but it's on Netflix
check
and
it out.
It's worthy of a watch.
Just really one good. Other memorable moment, because for someone that, you know, remembers the artist, but
yes,
you know, it's a different take in my through my lens. I really didn't understand like why Quincy Jones wasn't prominently featured. Is he battling? Am I missing something? Is he battling?
I think he is not well.
Okay, because like he was a key
factor
for all, and there's no like no modern footage of him.
No. No, there. And
that was sad.
There were a few artists where they didn't have the modern footage and interesting omissions, as far as I was concerned, from still living artists. That I found that a little strange. I found it strange that Bette Midler kind of shut out for that project. You know, and not only was Bette Midler, Rob, in the song or not? Did she have a solo in the song?
Did not have a solo, as I recall.
That's probably why she said "F that." I think there were a lot of bruised egos when they were making that song, but they did a lot of good. And I got verklempt just remembering being on the radio during that heyday, where there were so many artists, you know, Billy Joel, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, and it was just a very cool time. Much more
Dan Aykroyd.
How did he?
Just watching. Let's start the round table here.
He was there, though.
Oh, yeah. He was invited. It was a last-minute thing.
Yeah, under the heading of, you know.
You're a Ghostbuster. Come on over.
Totally sucks. We start today with one person killed, 22 others wounded in a shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory parade. At least three of the wounded are in critical condition. Police have detained three people for questioning, but there is no word on a motive. The deceased is Lisa Lopez Galvin of KKFI Radio. Does that mean she's a DJ?
She was, yes. I've read about this.
And eight of those injured are children. No word on what the hell it was about. I don't know. An estimated 1 million people gathered in downtown KC for the event. The shots rang out shortly after the end of the rally that followed the parade. The shots are so concentrated in the videos that I saw, I just cannot believe. If that was the only gunfire that was heard, which I think it was, it gives you an idea of how much damage can be done in a nanosecond, in an absolute fraction of a second. This went down. Some Chiefs players were still on the stage when it happened, but no one associated with the team was injured. And then panic ensued. I don't know if you saw some of the clips.
I saw the footage of the citizen. The tackled one of the
tackled
suspects.
One of the guys. Did you see the added footage on TMZ that they had? It looked to be someone perhaps hiding a gun. Did you see that?
I did see that.
If that is the case, I certainly hope they get to the bottom of that, because that is
it's an embarrassment for our country, and it makes me think what they must.
It's not new.
I know it's not new, but it underscores what has already been.
Yeah, it happens. We just don't talk about it as much because, you know, that's not what this show's about anymore.
It's a huge celebration.
Yeah, but
I have to wonder what people in other countries look at and think of us as a country.
So
it's just sad.
And this is highlighted at a very high level. This happened at the last Super Bowl World Championship parade.
Yeah, the basketball one.
Yeah. So, and it's even harder. And we're coming off the heels of having this conversation about how DC isn't as safe as it used to be and doesn't feel as safe. And I'm watching the news last night, the nightly news.
It's a good segue for that, Oscar. I think that's a good time to bring that up.
And I hear this.
Yep.
Which is not something
for the people that were saying these were talking points.
Yeah.
Stephanie. Thank you. We'll turn to another shooting.
This one
in Washington, D.C. Three officers shot while serving a warrant at a home.
Okay.
A suspect barricaded inside tonight. As Garrett Hake reports, it's part of a surge in violence in the nation's capital.
Shots fired.
Yeah, so you get the
surge in violence in the nation's capital. Yeah. There it is.
My mom called me yesterday and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "What's going on?" And this is just like what parents do.
Yeah.
You know, she says, she's like, "I heard there's like, you know, streets shut down." And I quickly go to a local news website and I see that the story had just broken in the morning. These officers were just going in to serve a warrant on animal cruelty. Uh-huh. And this guy opened fire.
Yeah. Weird world.
Like, of all the things.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we live in interesting times. That's the only thing I can say. Yeah. I know that's a cop-out line, but I got to tell you, that's the way
I look
at
true.
It now. I used to get gray hairs about it, and I wish I still did, but I can't. I can't do that to myself anymore.
No.
But really, when you think, the only question that pops to mind, because I get more matter-of-fact and clinical about these shootings now, I really do, especially when there's something unknown. Was there any chance whatsoever that this mother of two, the radio personality, was targeted? Is that?
No.
No. Random.
No, she was there for the celebration.
But also not a wingnut that was trying to kill as many people as he could, just maybe an altercation of some kind.
They say that this might be gang related. We don't know yet.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And the way the gun was hidden or allegedly hidden would speak to that as well. We have to you know, sit tight and find out what's happening. But, you know, when you think, and I remember the Red Sox parade of 2004 after the my whole family up in Boston went to the parade, and it was just such a cool event. And you think that is such a kid-centric event.
Yes.
That's what dads bring their kids to. That's what moms bring their
kids
to.
Can we take off of school for this? Can we go? It's like with these moments of when the Patriots, my brother took off of work and you know, took the day and took his son to the Patriots parade when they're kids, right?
Doesn't matter with the all powerful gun. Yeah. Doesn't matter at all. And very, very sad, and just really hope against hope they get to the bottom of it and find out what's happening. Not that that's going to bring that lady back at all. All right. What do I file this under? This next story here, I will file this under what's wrong with people.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you know about this one. Two kids from Colorado were just awarded the first ever athletic scholarship to play Division I cornhole.
Oh. Stupid.
Their names are Jackson with an X, Remick, and Gavin Hammond. They went to Thunder Ridge High School in Denver, which has a strong cornhole program, I guess. They're obviously cornhole prodigies. They won the first ever high school championship together in 21. This is new. And then another one a year later. On National Signing Day, that's a big thing at my kids' school as well. On National Signing Day, they signed letters of intent to play D1 cornhole for Winthrop University in South Carolina. It's a thing.
That's good, because the game of cornhole has never been associated with drinking. And I think it is a good thing that colleges are grabbing on.
Yeah.
Where, this is what's fascinating to me. Yeah. I want to hate on this. But I also know that there are gaming scholarships given out.
I know.
For video games?
Yep. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Like, what's the difference?
That
if there is an economy behind and that industry, and I've seen competitive cornhole,
a game, really?
Yeah, you know who
I have seen it on ESPN too.
You bring up a valid point. I will agree with you, even though I didn't intend to agree with you. I will say that when you're talking about it's football, golf, basketball.
If there is an economy that drives.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're entertainment. So cornhole but is entertainment. So
I wish cornhole wasn't named cornhole.
It's an unfortunate name.
Right? Because I played a different type of game, WVU, if you know what I mean.
You know who's behind this, Mike? It's Big Corn.
You mean maize?
I do, as your people call it.
It's maíz.
The
grande maíz.
The school has said how much the scholarship is for, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not a full
not
ride.
Not a full ride. No. Their new coach at Winthrop, coach, thinks full ride scholarships for cornhole could happen eventually.
But their head coach is Al Jarreau.
Do you remember? This isn't as crazy, but do you remember? Like I just recall my parents yelling at me about playing video games.
Yeah,
and I didn't have a good like. Yeah. Well, there's scholarships for this, right?
Yeah.
If I had that retort, oh my God.
Oh, the gaming with my son?
Yeah. Yes.
Dad.
You know, Robert's paid internship is doing press and public relations for the video game team.
Well, that's
at
different. That's a valid thing because you're talking about marketing a product. So that's
for a video game team at a Division I school.
Yeah.
A Division I team for a school.
Yeah.
Big money. It's big money.
Say hey.
It is.
You know, interesting stuff. It really is. All right, I've got my favorite story that I want to share with you right
Excellent.
Now. Excellent. Sarah Snook, she played Shiv in Succession.
Yeah.
Remember her? She says her co-star, Brian Cox, ball on the floor, had a habit of flying into, as she puts it, diabetic rages on the set. And it could be terrifying because of his thunderous voice. I'm in a diabetic rage.
So funny.
But she's not sure he was being totally serious. Quote, I think part of it is a little trying to just jolt the energy of the set and rustle a few feathers, get it going and moving faster. Cox has admitted in the past that his diabetes makes him hangry. Quote, this is from Brian Cox.
All right.
I need my food, and I don't like my food, so I have a very complicated relationship with food.
Hey, we've all been there.
I don't, you know what? I think that it's probably not entirely diabetes related. My dad has had type 1 for years and years.
Yeah.
When he gets too low or too high, he doesn't go into a rage. He checks out. So
in what
I
way?
Mean,
like he passes.
I mean,
out?
Like well, he has passed out. I've seen him have a hard time forming sentences.
Oh, he zones out completely.
Yeah, he zones out completely. Right. So I'm wondering if his diabetic rage could be based in that he doesn't want to get there, or maybe he's just an actor.
I don't know. We'll never know. We'll probably never
could
know the
be
answer
an actor,
to that. That's
yeah.
the way that goes. Finally, today, many people hope they leave this life having accomplished something. And this man definitely did that. This past Saturday, Bill Post passed away at the age of 96. He is the man who invented Pop-Tarts. And we've all had them. And we've all, yes, he deserves a round of applause. Amen. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get into Pop-Tarts till college.
You know, it's a solid product. It's
really
a go-to snack. It's a treat. I don't consider it like a real breakfast food. I consider it a treat. Back in the early 60s, Bill was working with Kellogg's. He initially called them fruit scones, but that was soon changed to Pop-Tarts as a play on the then-popular pop art movement.
That's funny.
And so what's his name? Bill Post. At the time of his death, Bill was extremely thin with just a little bit of jam inside of him.
Mike.
I'm sorry, that's the... Yeah, they were always too thin. Yeah. I can't eat this crap. It's too goddamn thin.
Do you have diabetic rage?
I have diabetic rage. Well, I've been waiting to eat my lunch for 6 hours. You bring me an epic Pop-Tart?
It's
Take a
scone.
Come back tomorrow.
A fruit scone.
Fuel your peak performance with 4Wellness. I saw Rob and Oscar.
Yeah, we were fighting over the brownies.
The ultimate functional food brand, 4Wellness, founded by Phil Mickelson and renowned performance coach Dave Phillips. It's a game-changing performance coffee supplement. You can elevate your brew with just one scoop for enhanced focus, reduce caffeine jitters, increase collagen and fat-burning support. But that's not all. Dive into their recovery gummies, packed with antioxidants and electrolytes. Perfect! Perfect for pre-workout or post-golf recovery. Need a sweet treat? Try the Superfood Focus Bites. That's the one you guys were arguing about.
Yeah. I loved it. I had it. It's an empty wrapper.
Tastes like a chocolate brownie. Unleash your full potential
with 4
Wellness.
Thank you.
So if you drink coffee, it's time to give 4 Wellness a try. Head to 4wellness.com/TMOS and use the code TMOS for 25% off your order. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is an interesting story I want to talk about because I love a good person that holds a grudge. It's fun to me. It really, really, really is fun. Rob says, for those that like Hollywood nostalgia, Warren Beatty, in his day, the heartthrob of heartthrobs, the it guy in Hollywood, hasn't done much in quite some time. He's up there. Probably 80-ish, I would think, right?
He is, but if it says here, he's 85.
85.
85.
Yeah, that's amazing. I wonder what he looks
so
like.
So he's been around a long time.
Been
now, if you go back in 1990, this kind of probably predates Oscar a little bit. He made that Dick Tracy movie.
Oh, I hated that movie.
I loved it.
Oh,
I thought it was
really
great. Yes, I thought it was so much fun to watch.
Oh, God,
the colors and everything.
It was,
and I liked the notion that he
had some of the most hyped movies of all time. You want to talk about studio backing? Dick Tracy was one, and then the legendary flop Ishtar.
Yes,
with Dustin
Hoffman about that.
Was amazingly promoted, and it laid a big stinky egg. It was terrible.
Well, I might not be the only one who loved Dick Tracy because Warren Beatty loved Dick Tracy, and
he was in it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he wanted to make
a sequel. He was Dick Tracy.
Yeah, he wanted to try to make a television show, and everyone shut him down. So, this is where the grudge comes in. He reads the fine print of his project, and as long as every few years he does a Dick Tracy project, he gets to retain the rights of the Dick Tracy character.
Mm.
So, what I didn't know is that ever since 1990, every few years, he does like a 20-minute, no-budget sequel to Dick Tracy, and now he's found a place. They run it.
Well, where is it? How can we never hear about it?
Because they run it on Turner Classic Movies once in the overnight just to make it count as a sequel. He actually went to the court to say, what do I have to do to make this count as a sequel? Mac, let us see this beautiful.
Oh, great.
This is from Turner Classic Movies. The plot this year is that he's complaining to Warren Beatty himself, but also Leonard Maltin and Ben Mankiewicz.
What?
Dick Tracy. He's playing
Dick Tracy.
Tracy's
complaining to Warren Beatty.
And Mankiewicz and Leonard Maltin. And this is a great way to hold a grudge.
Okay. All criminals are rats.
Should be treated as
your call
such.
Is on the Zoom, Mr. Maltin.
Your training is just beginning. Now it's up to you. Work hard, train hard. Because when you're a full-fledged agent, you'll have to fight hard.
Ralph Byrd is inspiring. There's just nobody like Ralph Byrd. I mean, Ralph Byrd. Ralph Byrd was
Detective Tracy. Sorry. May we put you on hold for a minute?
He's 90. Right between 90. Years.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And now Warren Beatty comes
Are you
in.
There, sir?
Oh my God.
I'm here. Is it? Who is that? Is that Ben Mankiewicz?
It is indeed.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Oh, Leonard,
this is so sad.
How are you?
It's been a while.
I have an old friend or acquaintance of yours here.
Oh, really? What? Who?
And now he pops up as Dick Tracy in the yellow coat.
So he does all this to hold a grudge.
We haven't spoken in a while.
Yeah, to prevent anyone else.
Detective Tracy, how are you?
I can see why they run in the middle of the night.
Fine, Mr.
Yeah.
Beatty, how are you?
Why do I even do this?
Fine, thank you.
This is terrible.
No see. Or...
Do we have to keep watching?
No, you can kill it, but I just wanted you to see it. But
do
I love the fact.
We have to keep watching.
I mean,
it's so.
Because
it's
of his contract, the fact that he did that, he gets to retain all control of all Dick Tracy product until 2027 now, which is when it goes into the public domain.
So, do they still sell swag from Dick Tracy? I would imagine they do, right?
Uh-huh. And
does that mean comic books
from that
as well? Or
I don't think they do Dick Tracy comic books anymore,
right.
But I know that Disney Plus was trying to launch a Disney show about Dick Tracy with Chris Pratt, and because he made that Zoom call video and it legally counts as a sequel to Dick Tracy, Disney Plus can't touch it. So in 1990, someone pissed off Warren Beatty, and he's still holding a grudge.
That's interesting.
34
years
later.
That's FU money, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like, he doesn't need the money?
Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't need the gigs. He's got all the money that he will ever need. And so he does this just like nobody else is going to. If I can't do it, if I couldn't do the TV show 40 years ago, no one gets to do the TV show.
That is fascinating.
And it is.
It is.
Almost, as Oscar says, unwatchable. There's zero effort
almost
put into it.
That was terrible.
And I mean, and this one, he didn't even come into the studio. He zoomed in. But in the eyes of the courts, this counts as a sequel. So he gets to retain the rights.
He's like a patent troll.
Yes,
and he's in cahoots with Turner Classic Movies.
Well, of course,
because they're
they
running
have much
it,
to
right?
benefit.
There has to be some kind of deal there.
I mean, they have
on for free. Yeah.
They have all of the his back catalog. So if they want to do a night where they feature Warren Beatty and so like what Shampoo and Heaven Can Wait and all of his early classics, they call him up and said, "Hey, we helped you out with Dick Tracy. You come on in and host this."
And if you don't know, Oscar, do Warren Beatty, back in the day, a notable swordsman.
I've heard. Yeah. Annette Bening, right? I remember. Madonna.
They were the it couple.
Yes.
That's right. Madonna. Very good.
I've studied all the swordsmen.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Good job.
You've studied them? And his big sister is Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there you have it. Anyway, good for you, Warren Beatty. I like when people screw with
people. That's very, very cool that he's doing that. And I think Ben Mankiewicz is kind of a cool guy. We're both TCM fans, so that's kind of neat. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we are going to talk about one of the last greats that's another guy in his 80s. Seems to be a theme of today's show. You got, Warren Beatty.
Well, Rob's here.
The guy I'm going to talk about.
Not that old.
Nostalgia. We'll be right back, everybody. Listen, if you are ready to shed 26% of your weight, let's go.
Let's go.
DermGlowSkin.com, the ultimate destination for conquering your weight. Just take a quiz on the website and discover if you qualify. I've written posts about this. Yesterday, wearing a pair of pants that I never thought I'd wear again. I never thought that I would have a small enough waist to, and I certainly never thought that I would be wearing a about 2 inches longer pant. I don't know where that happened, but I'm wearing slimmer pants, and I get noticed, and it is a gratifying feeling for people to make sometimes a joke, and sometimes a serious comment, including at my kid's football game the other night when I hadn't seen this guy in about a year. It's like, what the hell happened to you? That is nothing can describe that. If you want to do the weight loss procedure that I have, it's not a procedure, it's actually a medication that I'm on, all you have to do is go to DermGlowSkin.com. Now, when you click on the weight loss button, you take a quick quiz on the website and you discover if you qualify. Experienced doctors will prescribe the right medication and your weight loss solution will be delivered directly to your doorstep. Just ask Debbie Carano O'Brien. Tired of waiting due to low stocks? DermGlow ensures that you're connected with well-supplied doctors, eliminating any delays. It's a great time to start. From now until March 15th, you can get a $300 discount on your tirzepatide subscription. That's the medication that I take. So act fast, and now your medicine can even be shipped to Puerto Rico. Muy bueno. I've experienced life-changing results, and I just received a sympathy card from my bathroom scale. It said, "Sorry for your loss." That's thin. Almost makes me want to stop the commercial. Awaits you. Visit DermGlowSkin. Click the weight. All right, we're done.
That was a winner.
Thank you.
The whole thing. One of the greats, Vern Lundquist, will be calling his last Masters, and that will be coming up in April when we go to Augusta and view that incredible telecast. Vern Lundquist, all these old guys.
Yeah.
Seemingly, the ones that have survived, the ones that have last, they know how to handle the moments. They know how to say a very brief snippet of dialogue and then let the moment carry it. The greatest one in the history of golf was probably Tiger Woods' chip-in on 16 at Augusta, where Vern, who's been there for a million years, chipped in it. "Have you ever seen in your lifetime? Will you ever see?" Mm-hmm. And he's just great at it. And when someone told me that he was in his late 70s a few years back and still getting it done, you forget because sports casting is timeless. You forget these guys. It's a line of work that I think they have such passion for that these guys really go till they practically drop. You know, you got your Harry
Carey. I think
Carys,
they love it.
You know,
it's they love it and they stay with it.
So he'll be doing the last one. And if you've never heard him, you know, look up Vern Lundquist Masters Moments. There's probably a lot of stuff on YouTube that you you can get. And it's really, really quality stuff.
He'll be 84 this July, and his real given name is Merton Laverne Lundquist Jr.
Do you do a impression?
I don't. It's a straight baritone with a deep baritone that they have in your lifetime. Have you ever heard it? And, you know.
I know who that guy is.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He is as much of the game when you watch golf and is one of the sports that I will put on occasionally
really?
On a Sunday afternoon.
Great napping sport.
It's a great napping sport. But he's as much as part of the broadcast as the greens and the fairway.
Yeah.
And when you hear his voice, it doesn't, you're not screaming. It's not, you know, a Super Bowl victory, but he is part of the tapestry of golf.
Yeah,
and that's a voice you associate
and
with
the
it.
Thing
is
that
he
I always,
as go ahead. Part of it as, I'm sorry, Jim Nantz?
Probably not. You know,
not anymore. He
just,
was.
It's interesting stuff. It really is. You know, and he, this is Vern Lundquist calling the moment.
Okay,
Tiger. Just listen to the audio. We're not going to play the video. He's chipping up on the 16th. Almost impossible with the way the green is flowing here. And here's Vern Lundquist with the call.
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Well, that's it.
That entire sequence was like... you know, you could they could say, "Hey, this is known swordsman Vern Lundquist."
That's right.
That's Warren Beatty.
Yeah, but he did have the three-way with Warren Beatty.
Known swordsman,
and I think Natalie Wood. Nice.
A lot of time on the road. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, and you know what? When he finished, he said, "Have you ever in your life?"
Oh my God! Oh God! The Vern Lundquist is a true legend. College football guy too. Does a lot of CBS stuff. That's what he did. So
if it's CBS, is he retiring or has he been fired?
I don't know. I'm not sure. The last thing I wanted to talk about: brand new bowling technique. I'm sorry to make it about me, but I have to share this with you, all right? The bowling technique I have now, there's a little guy we're bowling against last night. And this guy walks up, and I call it the I don't give an S style of bowling. And what he does is the really good bowlers, as Rob will tell you, Oscar, will curve the ball, and they will smash into the pins and with a lot of torque and a lot of spin.
Amazing
and they'll
hook.
Explode.
Yeah.
I, due to my lack of coordination, have not been able to master that in any way, shape, or form. When I try to hook the ball, it hooks a little bit, but not a lot, not a lot. And it's frustrating for me because I just can't do it. This dude, little bit of a guy.
A shaver, Mike, a little shaver.
But he's probably 30, 40 years old, whatever, I don't know. And he's like kind of mopey, nice guy. Mm-hmm. And he takes the ball and he just flings it. And it's in the air. Almost halfway down the line. So it kind of lands and bounces. And then I watch him bowl a strike. And then I watch him bowl another strike. And then I watch him bowl. And he's not curving the ball. He's just saying, so the ball goes down the lane. So with a little liquid courage, I might have overdone it a little bit last night. I might have overdone it a lot. I mean a lot last night.
What was your poison?
Guinness.
Ah.
Followed by Irish whiskey.
Mike, you know better than this.
And then looking at Carla as she's coming back from bowling her frame and looking at her like this. I love you. I love you. You've made my life.
I love you so much. Never leave me.
You've made my life so much better.
And then you noticed your face and you said, turn away. I'm hitting
it. Turn away.
I'm molting.
I am not an animal. I am not an animal.
I'm a human being. Please don't look at me. I'm hideous.
And so I chuck it down, and lo and behold, I got one strike and then missed every other shot after that.
But you know, Mike, this goes back to a piece of advice that I gave you, is get it out in front of you.
That's what noted swordsman Warren Beatty said, too. Always get it out in front of you. That's the key.
Isn't that right, Vern? Yes.
In your lifetime, have you ever seen a swordsman like Warren Beatty, Madonna, and Annette Bening at the same time? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I finally got the Vern. That's it. We got to take a break. You got time for it? You got a fat flip side for us?
Big and fat and thick and wondrous.
Very, very exciting.
No,
we've got time for that. I love swordsman. One of my favorite words. We will take a break, and when we come back, Tiger Woods on the 16th at Augusta. I'm Jim Nance. So long, Vern. Mike O'Mara out. Hi, everybody. Naked Wines. It's a subscription service that links you directly to the world's best independent winemakers. Enjoy a case of top quality wines at a fraction of the store price, up to 60% off, by connecting winemakers to wine enthusiasts like you. Naked Wines cuts out middlemen. Ka-ching. Love that you can answer a few questions when you order, and they will instantly match you with a perfect pour for your taste. The cabs I got were extraordinary. I like saying that like a British person. The cabs that I received on my doorstep were extraordinary. And I enjoyed my first glass with a fresh-picked strawberry. In the off chance you don't like a bottle, they'll give you a credit so you can find one you love. Naked Wine sure is fine. It's wine time with Naked Wine. Naked Wine sure is fine. You'll understand why always time is wine time. So, head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click Enter Voucher in the top right when you get to the website. Then, enter TMOS for both the code and the password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99. Shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 a bottle. That is a deal, people. Wine of this quality at this price? Don't miss out. And cheers. And thank you, David Robertson.
Yes, he just joined up this week.
That's hello. Cool.
Roll over, rolling, 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 let me roll it.
The flip side.
Oscar, were you taking a selfie?
No, I was taking a picture of you because I got a text saying, is Rob in studio? And I said,
Here's
photo evidence.
Okay, well, you were smiling really big. So
yes.
Why were they asking if Rob's in studio?
Because Rob's going to run a production right after.
No, but I mean, why were they asking? Is that somebody from your
Podville, yes, yeah, okay. Yes. So instead of saying yes, I just took a picture and I said, here he is.
And here he is.
Mm-hmm. Here he is.
So, Mike, I know we discussed, sadly, the tragedy at the victory parade for the Chiefs, but that didn't stop the Chiefs themselves for having a good time, and you can't blame them because they didn't know what was going on.
Is this the Travis Kelce thing?
Yes, and along with Patrick Mahomes singing I think they planned to do karaoke. I think.
Who cares?
But
is this after
exactly
the celebration or parade or before?
This
or
is
during?
After the parade when they're on stage.
Oh, by the way, can I just insinuate
prior
one
to the
here?
Shooting?
Yes, yes.
Prior to the shooting, but then they show Travis Kelce going into a restaurant after the shooting. It's like, well, you know what? F people for doing that to Travis Kelce. Look, I know the guy is scrutinized, but don't make it like he is somehow less effective.
He's Kansas City.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because he is going into a restaurant. Life does, unfortunately, after a tragedy, go on.
What is he supposed to do?
Yeah, what the hell is he supposed to do, people? Lay off. That's my opinion.
Well, I think if he went into a restaurant, he might have been looking for the restroom. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, he's
anyway,
a little loopy, right?
What's great is that he and Patrick Mahomes sing, and this is a moment captured on video that they will never regret.
Coach is banging the drum. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up again for your Super Bowl 58 champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
No, 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 we ain't done yet. It's one guy that's needed. It's Big Daddy Travis Kelce!
That's so great.
Mahomes is hugging him around his
gut. Cut that. I want everybody a part of this thing.
Yeah.
If you know this song, sing along. Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined the Niners affair.
Oh, he is back.
The last one to know. We were the last one to show. We were the last ones they thought they'd see there.
Mr. Swift.
Yeah.
And I saw the surprise.
He's reading the lyrics off his phone, which is even
funnier. And we took that glass of champagne. Pat took that glass of champagne.
They work very hard during the season.
They do.
And they play hard, yes.
Do you remember, of all the things I've seen?
I thought that was nice.
it was during the Bucks Super Bowl celebration when they were chucking the Lombardi trophy
when they threw it back to Brady and it would have gone in the drink.
Yes.
It was amazing. It's a tradition.
And
as my father said, testosterone getting loaded. What the hell?
As my father said, Brady doesn't care. He's got like five of them at home. Now, while we're talking about Travis Kelce, he is sober in this tape, but I found this fascinating. It leaked sometime yesterday. I think it's because of NFL Films. He was mic'd up in the post game. Travis Kelce was. So we get to hear what he said to Taylor Swift.
This is cool.
After the game. So I just think it's interesting that neither said, I love you.
Okay. Thank you for coming, baby.
I cannot believe that.
Thank you.
I can't believe you.
Thank you for the support. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making it across halfway across the world. You're the best, baby.
Oh my God.
The absolute best. Was it electric?
Yes. It was unbelievable.
That's great. Then that's a portion of the clip. Like, if you watch the full clip.
Yeah.
Like, this whole ruse about this was set up by the NFL is BS.
Yeah, they do appear very fond of each other.
Appear?
Rob,
this guy.
Are you in the Trip Affleck camp?
What?
That it's fake?
That it's fake for her?
I think they're dating.
That she's the ice princess?
I don't think she's the ice princess. No. No.
By the way, keep those coming.
Trip can get very catty.
Trip. Meow. I love Trip when he's catty. I absolutely love it.
Are you trolling us? Come on.
No, so she can date another guy that she can ruin? Every celebrity. They're fantastic. When he gets his fangs out, it's fun.
She did a great job of ruining him. He had such a lousy year, Travis Kelce. Catonsville, Mike. Dateline Catonsville, which, as you know, is a suburb of Baltimore.
Hello.
Hi, UMBC.
This was on their news. This lady is 109 years old.
God bless her.
And the sad thing is I know they wanted to celebrate her life, but what they
She'll
did
be calling
in this
her
clip,
last Masters.
She's a swordsman, Mike.
Just callbacks. All right, go ahead.
What makes me sad is that 109, she's basically now Weekend at Bernie's.
She's a woman of few words, but when asked how she wanted to spend her birthday, that came easy. Bingo, of course.
I'm 25.
When it's bingo, she's here.
25.
She's the bingo queen. She can't hear it, but somebody sits with her and helps her. But she does good. She looks at the board and she sees the numbers. So then she follows the game, and she wins.
A favorite amongst her peers, she's winning all around.
She's friends
That's
with
all.
Everyone.
Thank you, Meg.
Winning.
She's winning all around.
Winning.
She looks at the board, but she can't hear.
Right.
And she can't play.
And someone else moves the pieces.
And, you know, I'm in no hurry to die, but if I get to that point.
Is that yours?
That was mine. Mike, I'm in no hurry to die, but if I get to that point.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put me down. Something painless, but put me down. That's your responsibility. Of course, if I'm 109,
right.
You're going to be 124.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be a tree.
Mac and I will take care of
it. I'll be a rhododendron.
And I love that.
A skinny one.
Yes. Thank you.
Skinny dendron. I love that in the modern age, early clips of stars can just pop up from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, I loved Double Bubble. I'm sorry, not Double Bubble. Bubble Yum. Bubble Yum was a great
Yeah,
well, which
was it?
Which did you
it
love?
It was Bubble Yum because Bubble Yum was a softer gum. And it
For
was
your
a
soft
chunk
teeth.
Gum. That's right. They weren't soft before the gum.
No, they were the soft in general. Don't you have soft teeth?
I do. I have very soft teeth.
Right. And are they sensitive teeth?
They're to insults. This is a classic bubble yum commercial with Leo DiCaprio. And the amazing thing is at this time, he was dating Elle McPherson.
Keeps it pop.
This is a chunk of super soft bubble yum bubble gum. This is a loud thumping tune pumping boom box. Both are known for blast. But only the yum is the fun that never blows out. Big mouth busting bubble yum keeps it popping.
Man, so that's budget commercial. Even back then, the guy had star power.
That must have cost millions of dollars to make.
Wow.
But remember, Hubba Bubba didn't stick to your face.
I don't remember
that
gum
was their,
as,
that
as,
was
pro, as detailed as you do, but I remember
gum
that
was hot for a while.
That bubble yum was more expensive.
Yeah, because it was chunks. It wasn't sticks.
Now, when I was a kid, I chewed tobacco.
Could you blow bubbles?
Yep.
Mike was 11.
Saliva bubbles.
With his little pouch.
Saliva bubbles. Yep, saliva. You know what's funny?
Brown saliva bubbles.
Mike, it's very funny because that lady in Catonsville also blows saliva bubbles.
Yes, she does, but out of right nostril.
What do we do?
All right, let's close with this. Mike, I call it the aquarium miracle.
Researchers at an aquarium in North Carolina have reported that a female stingray is pregnant despite being in a tank without any male stingrays. It's the biggest miracle at the aquarium since the Sturgeon Mary.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I will be submitting jokes to Seth Meyers all week.
Oh, wow. All right, we
got
to get
out
of here.
That's all I got.
Enjoy your day, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with a bonus show. Internet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tomorrow. So please subscribe, donate, buy our products, and we're delighted to have you here. And we appreciate every little bit of support that we can get. That's what keeps this show chugging along, ladies and gentlemen. And for all of you who care about that, God bless you real good. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bubbles.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? Where's the money?